welcome to the Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is a place where we have one goal, one mission, one passion every day for you all. We love you guys here and around the world. And we just believe that when we are a follower of Jesus Christ and we experience life the way God intended, we got a whole lot more peace, purpose, meaning, fun, frankly. And certainly we have a sense of real direction in our life. And that's what we're focused on here. That's why we love you, and we want the best for you and your finances and your marriage and your family and your, what we call your high-stake relationships. Those relationships that if you drop the ball or there's a problem in a relationship, it's a high-stake relationship. You lose big, and they lose big too, emotionally and otherwise. And that's why we often camp on topics like parenting and marriage and work and family business and so on, because we believe those things are high-stake relationships. And mostly, at the top of the list is your relationship with Christ. And so today, if you don't know Christ, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I hope today you'll listen and learn and enjoy and hear the stories of people who are struggling. Because I'll tell you what, when we follow Christ, things do get better. When we choose not to, boy, we can really struggle. And in fact, even those who are followers of Christ intentionally, we got problems. This is not immunity against issues in our life. We have issues. I mean, that's just a reality. But boy, we've got a whole lot of help in the process of facing the challenges. And that's what we want to focus on today. You know, I was thinking about coming to the office today about expectations. So many of you talk about expectations. And that's one of the big things that get us into trouble when it comes to our marriage relationships. An expectation that's not met will create disappointment, often disillusionment, and destruction and damage in a relationship. And so we want to help you clarify expectations. We want to help you with the issues you're facing in your marriage. So here it is. Phone line, we're going to open it to you right now. 888-888-1717. If you have a question for me about your marriage, come and join me. Speaking of expectations, let's get started with our first caller in Kansas.
Hi, my name is Benna. I'm calling from Kansas. My husband and I have been married for 28 years. And when you're talking about expectations, when we were first married, we were both on the same page as far as our faith in God. And somewhere through the years, my husband has decided that God is the reason for all his problems. So obviously his expectations from God have not been met. And my expectations of still being a couple that's faithful in God have been disappointed as well. I guess I'm asking, how do I approach this? Because if I mention God in any kind of conversation, his hackles go up, and that's the end of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, listen, Benna, you got a problem. And you see it. We see it. Everybody listening hears it. This is why God, when he says, let's not get hooked up with somebody that we're not on the same page, he uses the analogy of a yoke, like these oxen pulling in the same direction. Don't be unequally yoked together. And that's why. It's not because God doesn't like people who don't follow him. He loves everybody. But he knows with his wisdom that when you mix a person who has a strong, godly sense of priorities in their life, a follower of Christ, when someone who isn't, you're going to have the kind of issues you're facing. So what do? You pray for your husband. You be a good wife. You be a good mom, a grandma. You live your life. You grow in your spiritual walk. And we talk about expectations. Your expectation needs to change from, I can say something and I can do something that's going to change my husband, to there's probably very little I can say or do that's going to change his heart outside of an encounter with God himself. And so I'm going to pray, God, you have an encounter with my husband because he needs one, and whatever it takes. And then you go about your business of loving him, caring for him, and being the kind of person you need to be in the marriage. And don't keep pushing that button that you know is going to set him off, because that may be the Holy Spirit. Every time you bring it up, he's getting maybe pushed further and further away from being able to hear God, because he can't hear God because of you. Can I say that lovingly? Sometimes we say things and do things that become a smokescreen for the one we love from really blowing away the smoke and seeing what God's trying to do in their life. Just love them and be there and be the person you need to be. I know it hurts. I want to throw this in because I kindly share this. You know, over the years, we have the prayer chains, you know, and you got the prayer groups and the prayer friends, and it's easy for us to share things with a prayer group that are very personal about our marriage and family that we got to be careful. I don't think anybody would appreciate or respect having all their personal laundry shared with somebody. But now, please understand, you say to your group, hey, pray for our marriage or pray for me that I can be the person I need to be, or pray for my husband, but or my wife, either way, whatever it is. But let's be respectful of that person who's outside of faith. I think that's just really critical, important. I've been around long enough to see that. All right, let's go. Elizabeth, you're next in California. What's your question for me today?
Hello, my name's Elizabeth. I'm just calling. It's a huge story, but me and my husband had a big hiccup in our marriage over a year and a half ago, which has caused some issues, but I have had my bumps in the road, and I turned my life back over to God. I am so in love with my husband, and I want to do right by him, and I'm trying so hard to do right by him and, you know, give him the right guidance. But it's hard when the situation that he's involved is another woman. But my problem is what do I do? If he doesn't want to stop seeing this other woman, going around this other woman, spending time with this other woman, and I've done everything from having my pastor pray on him, having prayer warriors at my church pray for him and pray on him. I've done everything. I've tried to refer him to groups with our church and the men in our church, and it just seems like every time I turn around, it's like God telling me that maybe it's not for me. So I just need some guidance. I want to know that I'm doing the right thing, and if I have to depart from my husband because he doesn't want to do the right thing, am I still doing the right thing?
Hey, listen, Elizabeth, we love you, and let me speak to you as a brother in Christ, or maybe a father in Christ to you, that I hear some things you're saying that you got to really challenge. You keep saying, I'm terribly in love with him. I'm in love with him. He's out being unfaithful to you, involved with another woman, apparently, based on what you're saying. I'm wondering, are you in love with him or are you in need with him? And what I mean by that, is there a neediness here that's not healthy for you and frankly for him? He doesn't need someone who, quote, needs him, if that makes sense. So needy. And you talk about giving him guidance. I give him all that. He doesn't need your guidance. I don't think we have, in a marriage relationship, when someone is really messing up, unless they're looking for it, they're not looking for guidance from the person they're messing up with. The guidance they need is a spiritual kick in the backside, allowing God to speak to them and face some of the realities. And so a couple really basic things, Elizabeth. Get help for yourself. I hear you. You're hurting. I get it. But you got to keep the ball in his court, and it needs to be communicated. Hey, I do love you, but this ain't going to continue. I'm not going to be in a relationship with three people. That's not God's intention for you, for me, for our kids, for our family, for the future. It's not healthy for any of us. And the fact that you're still hanging on is an indication that you want to see this thing work, your marriage work. I love you, but it can't continue. You got to pick. You got to fish or cut bait. Where's your heart? Where's your head? And that doesn't mean, Elizabeth, you just open the door and let him come running back if that's what he wants to do. There's got to be some real consequences and also some reality of how do we get here and what's got to be different. And I would say to you and everyone, when you're in the middle of a mess in a relationship, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior and current behavior. And so keeping the ball in the other person's court, taking care of yourself physically, emotionally, relationally, in all these areas, and really ask yourself, is it really a love thing or is it a needy thing? Because the guidance you're trying to give and all that you're trying to do isn't working. And I hear you, and that's painful. It's got to be very painful for you, Elizabeth. But we want the best for you. Intentional living comes down to these four basic things. First of all, making a decision. You got to make a decision. This is not acceptable. This is not a marriage. This is something else, but I don't call it a marriage. I don't know what's going on, but that's, I got to make a decision. This can't continue. Then two, you got to discover what God's intention is about all this. And that's where you seek good counsel, first from His word in prayer, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Declutter from your own life. Number three, anything that's keeping you from dealing with this issue intentionally, which may be your own neediness. I don't know. You know, really working through your own issues to get a handle on it. This is where I would encourage you to plug in with a counselor and learn about yourself and some things. And then number four is, what one thing can I do? Will I do to address this issue? Because you can't change him. You can only change yourself. All right. Phone lines. Our phone lines broke. But they're working again. Somebody healed our phone lines. I don't know. Anyway, the phone line's open. If you got a question for us here on marriage today, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Phone line's open. 888-888-1717. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Imagine two different people. Both love God and want His will for their lives. But one of them lives a life that's wrapped up in worries, fears, and the challenges of the day, while the other wakes up to an intentional life that's free from those burdens. In Dr. Randy's message, Intentional Living Will Change Your Life, you'll learn five steps to living an intentional life in Christ and how your life can be transformed.
We believe that when we understand God's intention for our life, not only is God given the glory for it, but our lives are better for it.
When you support Intentional Living right now with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Start the new year off right by living intentionally. Give now, and you'll get access to these helpful resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, thank you for your support. Thanks, Kurt, for the reminder. When you join us at theintentionallife.com, there's a spot there to click on where you can join and support. And I want to say thank you to those of you who are supporting the ministry, helping us do what we do here to point people to Christ, to see people come to Him, and then start this process of living intentionally and reaching other people. And boy, seeing marriages saved, homes really encouraged and sometimes saved. Helping kids grow up in a strong home instead of maybe a more troubled place. That's part of what we do. When we all make decisions to say, hey, I'm done with myself. I want to do it God's way. That's a win for us here. And you're helping us do that together. When you go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and you can be a part of the ministry. When you do that, and press number two to talk to our team and say, hey, include me in. I'd love to give every month to support the ministry. I want to say in advance, thank you for doing that.
Hi, Randy. I'm listening from Arizona, and my question is, how do you go about, well, my husband in this case, how do you go about them being silent to refuse battling? What is a person trying to gain? I am one to talk about issues or problems and deal with it and get over it, and he is not. And our relationship is kind of in shambles right now, but I am doing everything I can and trusting once again in God and by faith. If you can just maybe answer that for me, would be awesome, so I know how to deal with the situation in a loving manner. For me, for our marriage and my husband. Thank you.
Well, you know, thank you for your call, and I hear your heart and the pain that you're experiencing, the fact that your husband won't talk to you about things that matter to you, and And that's probably issues he's facing for whatever reason, and you don't understand, and maybe he doesn't even understand. I always tell people when someone refuses to talk about issues, it's something going on in their life. And so the further you push, the harder you push, the more you push, the further you tend to push them away or drive them down. It's just the way it is. Because it doesn't make sense to you, and you think if they just snapped out of it, our marriage would be great. Well, they're not going to snap out of it, and the marriage isn't great, and it might be that they've got issues they want to express but don't know how to. And so the best thing is, at this point, is to share with your spouse, not so much about here's the problem and here's what I want, you know, we've got to talk about it, but just to let them know, you know, there are some things that I'm concerned about that I want to know how I can, what I need to do, what I can do. And we need to do it together because we're in marriage. And I just want you to know, when we can't talk, this is what it does to me. You never use the word you. This is what's happening to me. It causes me to withdraw in the marriage, and I feel frustrated and distant from you. And I don't like that. I love you, and I want the best for the marriage. What you're doing then is you're taking the ball and you're putting it in their court in terms of the effect of not talking having on your marriage, and frankly, the consequences and the cost to them and to your relationship when you can't talk and when you don't talk. All right. You can call. Love to talk to you. 888-1717. Hey, Rocky, how you doing?
I'm fine as frog hair. How about that?
Well, that's great. Thanks for the call today. What's your question?
I have two women that I love very deeply.
All right.
They're both, one's in England right now, coming back here to the United States. The other one is in the hospital dealing with an accident that she was en route to coming from Denver to here.
Mm.
And we both have, all three of us have come to love each other like you wouldn't believe.
All right. Can you turn your radio down a little bit, Rocky, because we have a delay system that creates confusion there.
It's off.
All right. So when you say you love each other, what are we talking about here? You're talking about romantic love? You love each, like you're going to marriage type love?
Right. Exactly.
All right. And so what's your question for me?
I want to know what I can do to satisfy both of them without them being angry at each other.
Well, it ain't gonna happen.
Huh? What?
It ain't gonna happen. You can't. You. That's not the way it's wired. God's wired us one man, one woman. I mean, I know we've got some bizarre kind of relationships going on in our culture today, but that ain't one of them that God's going to approve of. And so the fact that you love both of them, and oh, by the way, Rocky, do they know that you love both of them? I mean, they understand that this is kind of who are you going to pick type of a deal?
No, they don't, but they do know that I love them both.
All right. And so what do you intend to do?
I have no idea. That's why I'm calling you. I don't know, but I know that one's going to be coming here in the next couple of days back from England, and the other one's going to be in the hospital until, because of an accident, until the 4th and 5th.
That's unfortunate.
And I'm going out to pick her up.
Are you talking about love in terms you want to move in the direction of marrying one of these women?
Both of them. I know you can't do that in this state, but I don't know. I just don't know. I'm lost.
Well,
totally lost.
Rocky, listen. Are you a Christian? Are you a follower? Are you a follower of Christ?
Of course. Hey, I was in Vietnam. I've got three Purple Hearts.
That's great. All right. You involved in a church and in the Christian community?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic.
I've been stabbed. I've been beat on. I've been, you wouldn't believe it.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. What is your heart telling you?
My heart is telling me to stay with both of them.
But you know, But you also know that that's not something that you can do.
Right.
All right. So it'd be interesting. I wonder how many people, you think about people when they're getting ready to get married, make a decision, they've been dating someone else and they had another love and trying to make a decision of direction. But you know what? The Bible's pretty clear that God's intention is for one man, one woman for a lifetime. And whenever we violate that, Rocky, and that's why I ask about, did you know the Lord? Because whenever we violate, any of us, and not just in this area, but in any area of life, this is intentional living, figuring out what pleases Christ and then doing it, living our life the way God intended. And God's intention, clearly in Scripture, is to be one man, one woman for a lifetime. And I know the people listening say, well, that's not where our culture is today. Anything goes. But when we violate what God's intention is, there's always a price to pay at some point. And so in your case, Rocky, here's what I encourage you to do. I would encourage you to get plugged in with your pastor, sit down with your pastor, lay this out, let him really open up the Scripture, really do some teaching, really guide you, and that you not proceed in the relationship with either of these women until you clarify where you are in terms of what God's intention is for Rocky. Not Rocky's intention, you know, but God's intention.
That's what's happening right now, because they're both, we're not together.
Good.
Neither of them.
That's good.
Okay. And I'm just, one is so great. They're both great.
Yeah. Well, I think in a lifetime, we can meet a lot of people that are great, you know, and a lot of people that are, we can be attracted to. But again, violating God's intention is costly. And so you said you're plugged into a church. I would encourage you to get with your pastor and lay this out and just tell him exactly where your heart is and what you're doing, because it's going to be under his guidance. He's the shepherd, right? And if a pastor's doing his job, he'll be able to sit down and clearly share with you what the Bible teaches, and building off of what we're saying. If you want to read more about what the Bible teaches about marriage, go on to the book of Ephesians. For example, the New Testament, it's very clear. God lays it out. God's intention for all of these relationships, marriage, parenting, work, pretty powerful thing that we can learn from. All right. Appreciate that. Thank you, Rocky. We'll be praying for you. Interesting. Very interesting. All right, before we take another break, let's go to a call that's come in from the comment line. We get a chance to talk to people who leave their questions and comments, but not necessarily their name, but we get a chance to talk to them. Take a listen.
I've been listening to the program for almost a year now, so I'd like to first thank you for blessing me with a lot of good information. The topic I'm kind of concerned with is a blended family, and how to keep the children serving the Lord in the home, not just on Sundays, you know, during church hours. I have a blended family, and I'd like to know how I could be more effective in my walk with the children, encouraging them, and maybe some ideas.
All right. Blended families. A couple things as I was listening to your call, your comment on the, your question on the comment line. Three things came to mind. You know, we're thinking about being intentional. In a blended family in particular, really being intentional is so critical. Three things. First of all, be interested in those kids. Get behind their eyes. Be interested in what they're interested in. If they're interested in science, be interested in science. If it's sports, if it's, I don't know, the latest fad, whatever, just be interested in what they're interested in a genuine way, even if you don't understand it. Number two, it's important to be available, because there are times that they will want to talk to you and times they won't. And when you're available, you're available. You listen without necessarily comment or correction or criticism. And boy, this is a critical one. Be consistent. There's something powerful in a relationship when the kids know that you're consistent. They can count on you. If you're boring, you're boring. If you're up, you're up. If you tend to be kind of middle, you're middle. But they know who you are. And when kids can count on you to be who you are, I think that's a very positive thing. But here's really the statements that wrap around what it means
to live intentionally. I'm clear about the purpose of my life. I choose to take daily action in whatever area it may be today. It could be your health, your finances, or your work. And I do that by faith. And I'm pretty consistent to do what the Bible teaches and how the Holy Spirit leads each day. I take life seriously, but not myself too seriously. I know I'm not perfect, but I've allowed my spirit to be awakened by God's leading, His convicting, His convincing, or by His commands from Scripture. In the areas of my life that matter, I daily seek what pleases Christ. And you know what? I'm pretty consistent to follow through every day. You know, if you can relate to that, then you're closer to the what we call the quadrant, the matrix of intentional living, the quadrant two, which really focuses on living an intentional life. Thank you for your prayers. That's an excerpt from the lesson this month. Because of your support, members, you're making it possible for us to create resources and content for people. Thank you for doing that. You can join us today by going to theintentionallife.com or when you call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours, press number 2. We're going off the air live, but I'll tell you what, we're going to just stay here in the studio, and I'd love to hear your questions. If you got some questions about marriage, some issues that maybe I can give you a perspective or I can ask a question back to make you think, I'm glad to do so. And we'll record those, and it'll air on Monday, this coming Monday, February, what is it, 3rd, 4th, 3rd? All right. You can call 888-888-1717. I'm just reflecting a little bit on Rocky's call, and I if Rocky, if you're still listening, I really respect the fact that you have a question like that, because I think there are probably many who, as you're dating, your heart's been drawn in other relationships and you're trying to clarify it. But one of the greatest things we can do is before we act on anything, to ask God, what is your intention? And get that clear. I think so many of us in situations in our life, could be finance or work or relationships, that we act before asking and praying about the big question of God, what is your intention for this? Because ultimately I want to bring your glory and certainly benefit to myself and those that I love. So there's a lot of questions, Rocky, your pastor could ask. That would be helpful to you and to any of us, having people in our life that can ask the hard questions and the good questions, the ones that give us direction. All right, phone lines open, 888-888-1717. However, I'm off the air live now. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We'll see you again right here tomorrow. Hope you come and join us from the Intentional Living Center. Have a great day.